Julia Roberts hasn't had a major movie role since she played Tinkerbell in Hook back in 1991. And yet, she's rarely been out of the headlines over the past couple of years. Roberts is said to be the biggest female movie star in America, even when she's not starring in any movies. But what about when she is? Her new picture, The Pelican Brief, opens today. Film critic Stephen Schiff went to have a look.
I've never been quite as nuts for Julia Roberts as a lot of people seem to be, but I think I see how her particular brand of screen magic works. That smile of hers is a real dazzler, all white and dimply and huge, with five or six moving parts the rest of us don't seem to have. In a Julia Roberts movie, the smile goes on, just enough to addict you to it, and then it goes off. Trouble arises, something makes her unhappy, and we in the audience get hooked into the movie because we want the trouble resolved so that Julia can treat us to that smile again. One of the problems with The Pelican Brief is that Julia doesn't give us a chance to bask in her smile. She's earnest and furrow-browed right from the beginning, and that's because she's pretending to be very, very intelligent. How else to play Darby Shaw, a Tulane University law student who impresses her teacher, Tom Callahan, played by Sam Shepard, and also sleeps with him? Poor Callahan hasn't seen much of Darby lately, though, because she's been working away in the library day and night, trying to solve the crime that has captured the nation's attention. Two Supreme Court justices have been murdered, and no one has a clue why. Darby puts her guess about the killer's identity in a brief, yep, the Pelican Brief, and gives it to Callahan, who passes it on as a curiosity to a friend in the FBI. Mistake. Pretty soon, Callahan's dead, and Darby's on the run. The only person she thinks she can trust is an investigative reporter at a newspaper very like the Washington Post. His name is Gray Grantham, and he's played by Denzel Washington, also very earnest and furrow-browed.
Now, if your brief is right, and it ever reaches the light of day, the president has lost any chance for re-election. There are men around the president that won't let that happen. I checked with all my sources last night at the Bureau, Langley, the White House. All of them said the brief doesn't exist, never has. You may be the only witness that can ever prove there was a brief. If you disappear, so does justice. Is that what Callahan would want?
Thomas would want me to see my 25th birthday.
Darby, if this thing reaches as deep and goes as high as we think it does, these men will do anything not to be exposed. Where can you hide?
This is the second adaptation of a John Grisham bestseller to hit movie screens in 1993. The first one was called The Firm. This one ought to be called The Soft. Nothing in it quite holds up, and the premise is too mushy to support the frantic, awkwardly directed chases that dominate the movie. Everybody strides through the Pelican Brief, barking out suspense movie cliches and looking deeply concerned, but the film remains strangely unconvincing. While they're all up there scrambling, we're out here shrugging. And there's another thing. You're watching the brave reporter and his braver deep throat and all the murky scenes in parking garages and a conspiracy that goes all the way to the White House, and you're thinking, right, this poor director thinks he can make a movie as good as All the President's Men. And then you realize the director of The Pelican Brief is Alan J. Pakula. He did make All the President's Men. And that's when The Pelican Brief stops seeming silly and starts seeming a little sad.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.